May we be helped to commence our worship of God this evening by singing together hymn 1134. Hymn 1134 to the tune of Purley 721. Hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly Dove, with light and comfort from above, our waiting souls set free. Be thou our guardian, thou our guide, o'er every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. Conduct us safe, conduct us far, from every sin and hurtful snare, that we may not thee grieve. Apply thy word, that rules must give, and teach us lessons, how to live, and firmly to believe. Lead us to Christ, our only rest, and in his love may we be blessed, while in his name we meet. Let precious drops of heavenly dew our courage and our strength renew, and make the promise sweet. Hymn 1134, tune Purley 721.
Thank you. grant unto us understanding as we read from his word this evening from the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, and we'll read from chapter 2, from verse 8 to the end of verse 17, and then we'll read chapter 3. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 8 down to the end of verse 17, and then chapter 3. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same is it that compasseth the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool or wind of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may we each be helped now to rightly pray. Oh, most holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, we have in thy mercy been spared to gather together once more on this thy day. May not, Lord, it be a burden for us to be here. But may there be that desire, that longing, that rejoicing that we have entered into a sacred place. From out of the profanity of the world, that we have come in to a sanctuary, a place of rest. And Lord, may it be a place of rest for us this evening, that we may not go out as we came in. And yet, Lord, thou knowest what we need to enable us to truly rest, to look to that eternal rest. Thou knowest if we need, Lord, that shaking up. Thou knowest if we need that consolation. Thou knowest if we need that encouragement. Yet, Lord, may one and another this evening, through thy word, through the reading of it, through the singing of thy praises, through the preached word, be able to look and live. Who would ever deliver us from a spirit of complacency? Deliver us from just being content to come and go. Show unto us the futility of resting upon a form of religion without the power thereof. Work mightily, Lord. Remove any stumbling blocks and obstacles that may be in the path of thy people here tonight. For Lord, we long to see that fruit from the preached word. We long to see the roots in the hearts of the people going down deeper and drawing more from thee. Lord, may we know more of thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Make us willing. Make us be longing to read thy word, to study the scriptures, to know more of thee. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. May we never forget, Lord, how many in this world at this time do not have access to thy word. We look back to centuries past when many sacrificed much, and indeed their lives, for the furtherance of the gospel. So now, as we have more copies than we know what to do with of thy precious word, Lord, may it be precious to us. Not the book, not the paper, not the cover, but that which it contains. And may we prove thy word is truth for thy people. For we live in a world, Lord, where very few know what truth is. One man's truth is another man's lie. And what is fact to one is not to another. We see a nation building upon the foolishness of man's own thoughts and being blown about this way and that way. Lord, may we be rooted and grounded in thy word. But Lord, ever deliver us from just being so in a legalistic way, seeking to do and not to do that which thy word commands or doesn't command. Lord, may we indeed look to the way of salvation, see the true truth of thy word, see from Genesis to Revelation that great work that was undone in the Garden of Eden, that perfection that Adam and Eve lived in. And ever since the fall, Lord, we have known, continue to know, and will continue to know until the end of our days, the effects, the cost of sin. Yet may we be as those, as the hymn writer said, those that hate the sins that made thee mourn and drove thee from our breast. And may our cry be again with the hymn writer, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Our wicked nature leads us this way and that way. Keep us in the way, Lord, which leads to life eternal, we beg. So as we gather tonight, Lord, we pray for all that have gathered this evening, and for those that may be listening in too online. Lord, we thank thee that we are able to assemble together. We thank thee for the peace and comfort that we can gather in, the ease that we have to travel, and so much we are surrounded by. So, and as we gather tonight, Lord, be with all. And we desire, Lord, and beg that there may be implanted in them each that seed of living grace, that hunger, Lord, this evening. Pray for the children here tonight and those that were here this morning. Be with them all. Help them to listen as they gather week by week. Help them to understand something that is being said. Give us wisdom as parents to bring up our children in the right way, in the confusion that they are growing up in. And Lord, yet we know this is the day which thou hast placed us in. We would not look back at future generations and future centuries as being the ideal time. Lord, we are here when thou hast placed us here. Lord, give us that wisdom to be that right example to the following generation and not that stumbling block in all we do. So we pray for them, and we pray for the young people too here this evening. Lord, those that are at secondary school, those who are in further education, those who are seeking to go into employment, Lord, those who have future uncertain steps before them all, oh Lord, we pray, help them all. Lord, they need much at this season of their life as they go through secondary school and into employment. They need thy guiding hand in so many ways. So we pray to keep them, but more than that, work in their hearts. Give them, Lord, we pray, that love unto thee. We would pray also to provide for them as well, those right boyfriends and girlfriends, those future husbands and wives, Lord, we beg. Lord, we supply all their needs in all these ways, and may there be much prayer in all matters. And in the days of their youth, may they seek their Creator and see thy hand truly leading and guiding and directing, even when the way may be contrary to that which they thought would be the way. So Lord, help them all, and we would remember those that have left thy house, those who no longer have the desire to worship. O Lord, do we pray, cut through the blindness so they may see that which they are pursuing and bring them back. Lord, we would pray for those in employment, those in business, those in the middle period of life with much upon their daily lives. Lord, may they also be given grace to walk uprightly, strength to carry on, and to rightly serve thee with the abilities that thou hast given them. Lord, we each need thy help in all matters. Lord, do graciously appear. Lord, we will pray for all those this evening that are preaching thy word, many we know and love for the truth's sake. Lord, we pray for those churches that we are all connected with here tonight. What we pray for here, we pray for there too, that we may yet see a godly increase. For we are living in a day where our churches are brought so low. Lord, is there not a reason? Grant unto us the eyes to see, Lord, where we have offended thee and strayed, Lord, into that which is wrong. And Lord, give us that grace to act upon what we see, to not be afraid of man, but Lord, to do that which is right in thy sight. Lord, we pray, may we see a returning of the power of thy Spirit in our midst. May we see, Lord, less of a satisfaction with tradition, and more of a real hunger and desire to be in thy word, feeding upon it and learning from it, so that they may learn of thee, may worship thee, be humbled before thee. So Lord, give us eyes to see. And we pray for those churches that throughout the world that live in such fear, to appear for them. We remember those in other countries, who pray for Mombasa Mission, and Lord, all that they are going through, Samuel and Hannah there at this time. Lord, in this lonely time they are in now, on their own out there. Oh Lord, do help them, give them strength to carry on, and to be with them in all their pathway. But Lord, there are many other organisations which do such good too, and we cannot name them all, but Lord, we beg, do appear, Lord, we pray. Lord, what sacrifices are made by many, richly reward them, we truly beg. Lord, we would pray for those who in recent weeks have accepted those pastorates over various chapels. Lord, be with those causes of truth, we pray, and to be with those also that have gone or will be going to become pastors over them. Lord, do appear in all these things, and may thy rich blessing rest upon thy will. Lord, we pray that there may be indeed many more sent forth to preach the word. But Lord, how many there are where it's just the ones and twos. So Lord, we need that building up. But Lord, as we gather this evening, we gather around thy word, give us the understanding of it. And as we gather around thy table later, Lord, may we likewise see there the significance of what we are partaking of. We pray, Lord, that the baptismal pool may be opened here again shortly. How thy work will carry on in the hearts where thou art working. That there may be those added to the church. That they may be strengthened at this time. We thank thee for what thou hast done, Lord. But Lord, that work is a continuing work. Grant grace and patience to carry on. Where there may be those this evening with mysterious pathways that they are walking in. Lord, where they cannot see the crooked made straight, the rough places plain, the mountains made a way. O Lord, may there be thy hand clearly seen, even in coming days and weeks, to make all matters clear in those uncertain pathways. Lord, where there is great need, do supply. And come before all, we beg. But Lord, we gather together this evening as a company of sinners. May that not just be words off of our lips. To see sin smarts but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. So may all here tonight feel they are sinners before a holy God. Only then it will be true conviction of sin. Convict us, Lord, by thy Spirit, and reveal unto us our need, and reveal unto us a precious Saviour. Lord, that is what we need more than everything. So come into the pathway of all, we pray, and draw us by thy love. So be with us all. That which we have forgotten to pray for may have been prayed for by those before us, and our prayer be a united prayer, we truly beg. We beg now for the power of thy Spirit to come into us. Come into us, Lord, to reveal thy truth, and reveal unto us this evening. Give us every word to speak and open the ears of the people. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Robert Field is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Bernard Burgess next Lord's Day, both morning and evening. And a church meeting is to be held, God willing, tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. The collection taken at the anniversary service for this cause amounted to £206.40. And we would gratefully acknowledge the Lord's provision for this cause. May we now be enabled to continue our worship, singing together hymn 543, hymn 543, to the tune Chester 455. And so that we might sing with understanding, as there are those younger ones amongst us, I'd remove a stumbling block, as it were, from verse 3. Jesus is a holy way, leads to endless joys above. Holy men, and only they, walk in this blessed way of love. It doesn't cut you out, friend. Back in hymn 89, there's a verse which says, what comfort can a Saviour bring to those who never felt their woe? A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. And so if there's a seeking soul brought to know their sin, they are also a holy one, a holy man or child. And the second one in verse 4, Jesus is the narrow way, Hagarenes have here no room. sons and only sons are they. Who can travel this way home? Hagarenes is an old-fashioned term. It refers directly, as it were, to the offspring of Hagar, the servant of Abraham and Sarah. But it's not that, really, that the hymn is referring to. Abraham and Sarah had a promise. They got busy when they couldn't see the fulfillment of that promise. And in their self-will, they had a son via Hagar. And this verse is saying there is no room in the way for self-will. It must be of the Lord. So let us sing hymn 543. Due to the length of the hymn, we will commence singing at the third verse. I read the first two. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way the church has trod, down from Adam's day to this. Jesus is the living way, all beside to ruin lead. They are safe, and only they who are one in Christ their head. Commencing to sing of verse 3, 543.
Thank you.
help us all as we gather around his word this evening. And a verse, a couple of verses you'll find in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verses 22 and 23. Genesis chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. But I'll read the last verse as well. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Really, what has been upon my mind for this evening's service is the tree of life. We have in these first few chapters of Genesis, these first three chapters, what the whole of the rest of the Bible seeks to undo, as it were. We have the work of redemption flowing throughout from Genesis to Revelation. We have the same themes flowing throughout Scripture. A thread runs through every page. Man has sinned. The wages of sin is death. God and man have become estranged one from another. There needs to be that way made. And we have just been singing of it in that hymn, haven't we? Jesus is the living way. All beside to ruin lead, they are safe, and only they who are one in Christ their head. So we all know, I am sure, what these early chapters teach us. The creation of the world. The creation of man. And we read, don't we, at the end of chapter 1, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. It was very good. There was no sin. There was no disease. There was peace. It was perfect. And as we go into chapter 2, out of the ground in verse 9, made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We can have a measure of understanding of what it must have been like, because I'm sure we have all been overcome at times by the beauty of creation and the created world. We see the hand of God in it and marvel at the work of it, but that was after the fall. When that was perfect, it is something we cannot imagine. But at that time, when Adam and Eve walked about that garden, the Lord provided for their needs. He provided for their life. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." They could eat of that tree of life, and through eating that tree of life, they were given life. And we see through that a type of Christ, which we may try and get to later. But life flowed from that tree. But they were not allowed to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we see with the tree of life, we see with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we see within us. We see within the believer two trees. We see that which is evil, we see that which is good. And we often find ourselves inclined to lean toward the tree of evil. The temptation to sin. There's so much we could look at in this chapter, and we haven't got the time to go into too much else other than our text. But throughout these early chapters, there is so much instruction for us in our need and in God's marvellous provision. We see one more point before we move to our text. In verse 21 of chapter 3, we see God made coats of skins and clothed them. When they had fallen, when they had eaten of that tree, when sin had entered into the world, when they understood their nakedness before a holy God, He covered them. But in that covering that God provided to take away that fig leaf covering, we have the death of one. We have the death of an animal. We have covering through death. But as we want to try and look specifically this evening at this tree of life, as the Lord may help us, we have the solemn responsibility to set clearly before us the fall. Sin entered, and we looked to sin. Paul, in writing to the Romans, when speaking of the first Adam and the second Adam, in Romans chapter 5, rightly says in there, verse 18 and 19, "Therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, the fall. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men, unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." We read earlier in Romans in chapter 3, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is that distancing, that barrier between us and a holy God. The tree of life has been removed. And we see, don't we, that sin is in everything round about us. We live in a fallen, sinful world, and may we not just say sin is in all about us. We have to also see chiefly that sin is all in us. And may we never be led to think that we will be able to keep ourselves from falling into anything. That we have any power within ourselves to keep our footsteps in that narrow way. The Apostle Paul, he knew what it was again, didn't he? In Romans 7, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He saw that sin was in everything he did. And if we think that we can keep ourselves from any sin whatsoever, we do not truly understand the fall. We do not truly understand who we are. We need to pray that the Lord will keep his restraining hand upon us. That the Lord will keep us from everything. And I mean everything. David, man after God's own heart, greatly sinned. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, fell into great depravity. Peter, one of the nearest disciples to the Lord, denied the Lord, thrice blasphemed, oaths and curses. None of us can keep ourselves for one moment. Sin is in everything. But as we return to Genesis 3, sin is in and through everything. The wages of sin is death. But more than that, what do we see at the end of chapter 3? He drove out the man. He placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way. And what was the reason? To keep the way of the tree of life. We see there the door firmly shut. And throughout Scripture, you will see imagery of trees. You will see trees throughout the majority of the books of the Bible. And throughout them all, they portray life, or they portray goodness. Yes, we get those occasions where there are bad trees and so on, but it portrays to us something living generally. And in this tree of life, that the door was shut upon, the way was blocked by those flaming swords. There was no way back to paradise. There was no way back to Eden. For man has sinned. The wages of sin is death. Without going off on too much of a tangent, my mind just goes to the wise and the foolish virgins. Where we see there, don't we, in that a parable, the door that was shut. Is it in Matthew 25? The kingdom of heaven is like unto 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And there were those that were ready, there were those that were not. While the foolish virgins went to buy, they weren't ready, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. What a solemn thought. Before us each this evening, there is a door. To some, the door has been opened. Some have, by God's grace, come to that door, been drawn to that door. Others may be asking and knocking on that door. And to those that knock is the promise, it shall be opened. But others, the door is shut. Some may not be knocking at all. Some may be unconcerned. that door must be open to enter into eternal life. But before we move on to the gospel times, we must look a little further at this tree of life. Because it is symbolised and set before us in so much of Scripture. Throughout the Old Testament, we have the, and to Revelation, which we'll look at later, we have the tree of life, all those types of it, and the promises of it. Looking to Christ. We see it in the temple worship. We see it with regards to that type of the tree being the golden candlestick in the temple and tabernacle. For we read it about that in Exodus 25. Thou shalt make a candlestick, verse 31, of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops and his flowers shall be of the same. Six branches shall come out of the sides of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side. Three branches out of the candlestick out of the other side. And we won't go and read all of it. But in that candlestick, we have the image of the tree. The candlestick to bring life. And what do we see throughout Scripture? Where there is life, there is light. That's what we see in John's epistle, isn't it? The life and the light interwoven together. And we see that in the image of that candlestick. There is life, the tree of life, that reminder of it to them as they went to worship, of their need of the tree of life. But what would the children of Israel do? Would they keep on looking to that tree of life? Oh no, like us, how often they forsook the Lord. We read it time and again, don't we? They forsook the Lord. They returned again to the Lord and they forsook the Lord. But they could come in and out of that tabernacle. They could look to that candlestick with longing for the tree of life once more. And it was the same in the prophecy of Isaiah, wasn't it? In Isaiah chapter 11, that prophecy we see of Christ's kingdom. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. There we see Christ prophesied. We see the tree of life pointing to Christ, the way being shut. We see in the tabernacle, the candlestick, that tree, that life, that light. We see in the prophecy of Christ in Isaiah, a rod out of the stem of Jesse and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And what is it all pointing towards? It is pointing to Christ. The tree of true life. But dear friends, there will be some here tonight who do not know their need of Christ. Who do not understand they need that life. Content to carry on as you are. Content as the years roll by with what you've got. But if you're one of the Lord's, that time will come where you cannot be content anymore. In John 3 we read, don't we? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. But as it was with the children of Israel, when they were bitten by those serpents in the wilderness, some looked. Others died. And so it is, dear friends, today. Few look and live because few see their need. of that one that was lifted up, that one who was hung on that tree. Where are we in that point? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The way to life through Christ Jesus. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the way to bliss. In this way the church has trod down from Adam's day to this day. It's the only way. There's still that flaming sword blocking the way to the tree of life. But one came that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Even Christ Jesus came. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish, but have everlasting life. For Christ is the second Adam. Christ, what do we read of in Galatians? Galatians chapter 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. In the death, the crucifixion of Christ, through his death, through that tree, we see life. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The tree of life, the cross of Christ. And through that cross, through that veil in the temple being rent in two through his death, access has been made again to a holy God. That way to life has been made, because he lived the life that you and I could never live. We were born in sin, we were shapen in iniquity, we all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He lived that perfect life. As we quoted earlier, therefore, as by the offence of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. But one point to stress this evening is that free gift. The free gift of life in Christ. Can't work our way there. Can't force our way in. The free gift through Christ Jesus. The tree of life. But when we are in the prime of life, when we may be unaffected by tragedy or illness or sickness or disease, even into the middle of our life, we still think we're going to live forever. But we won't. We will die. We read quite clearly, didn't we, in that chapter and that verse which is often quoted at funerals. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. That is for definite. It is inescapable, and let us ever try and push the thought of an ever-ending eternity out of our minds. We don't want to be morbid and always think about death, but we need to consider it. And we need to understand and make our calling and election sure that that way to eternal life has been made. That we have access to, as it were, the promised land, that paradise, heaven above, through the true, new and living way through Christ Jesus. May we never ever block these thoughts out. But plead for mercy. Fall before a holy God. Seek his face through his dear Son. Cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, through thy dear Son, that we may have access to the tree of life. But that tree carries on, and as I said, I would try and look at it in Revelation 2. It carries on to the end book of the Bible, looking to that to come. And I think it is in the early chapters, but I can't find my mind, my eye can't fall upon it. But in the latter chapter, we have clearly in that closing chapter, in Revelation 22, he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and in either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing or the redemption of the nations. The tree of life. Blessed are they, we read further on in that chapter, verse 14, that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. There we have it, don't we? The beginning of the Bible and the end of it. Perfection. The way barred to the tree of life. And at the end of it, at the end in this final chapter, that rights to the tree of life, that entrance in through the gates into the city, for those that do his commandments. And so it carries on in that chapter, verse 19. We read there, don't we? If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That way was barred to the tree of life by man's sin. But that way has been made to that tree of life again, through the perfection of one man, the man, Christ Jesus. That one who said in John chapter 10, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall have access to the tree of life. He will find pasture. He'll find satisfaction and peace. Because he is the good shepherd. The good shepherd that giveth his life, that lay down his life for the sheep. Dear friends, where are we tonight? We read and can do those early chapters in Genesis without really thinking much upon the significance of the fall. Or at least I have done. Can read through it as just being factual information about how God created the world. But we see in those early chapters everything that flows through the scripture. Without Eve taking that forbidden fruit. Without sin coming into the world. There would be no redemption. There'd be no need of it. There'd be no gospel. But we are living in that time. We are living in that gospel time. Praise the Lord, that way has been made. Where the head of the serpent has been crushed. It shall bruise thy head. That enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Satan is a defeated foe. And yet, how often it doesn't feel like it. How often he will say to us, you have no right to the tree of life. You're too much of a sinner to come before a holy God. But we don't come through ourselves, do we? We come through his perfect obedience. We come through him as the door. We come through his life. And as we go through this life, and as we till the ground, as the sweat of our face, the beads upon it form, to earn our living, to bring forth that to eat, as we tackle the thorns and the thistles, and everything that has come into this life through sin. Do we ponder what the future will be for the Lord's people? That time where there will be no more sin and sorrow. Where there will be perfect harmony like there was in that Garden of Eden, where man walked with God in perfection. We cannot fathom it, can we? But the truth of the Word of God declares it. The tree of life. So as we shortly, we will gather around the Lord's table. We gather round it to remember what Jesus has done. We gather round it to consider how that way has been made indeed. And we do it, dear friends, to remember him. But we have before us, dear friends, the right way, the narrow way, and the broad way. And as was spoken to the children of Israel, these words, as my mind goes to it, set before us as set before them, I've set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. As was set before the children of Israel, that choice. So there is set before all of us death and life. Yet until the Lord makes us alive, we cannot choose life. We will choose death. But when that work of regeneration comes, when he gives the precious gift of faith, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. How many of the children of Israel clave to the world? Wasn't long, was it, after they had been brought out of the land of Egypt that they looked back to that which they had been brought out of and wanted to return to it? It's like us, isn't it? But may our eyes be fixed on Jesus Christ, the living way, the way to God, the way to bliss, the right way, the way of strength. So as we have looked briefly at this evening, and there is so much in this third chapter, and we do not feel to have got into it as we may have liked. But may we just take this one point home with us and ponder it. The man was driven out of paradise. The flaming sword which turned every way kept the way of the tree of life. But the God-man, the man Christ Jesus, has opened that way to eternal life. God in his mercy, in his grace, didn't need to. But he chose to. He chose a people for himself that would come unto him, that would enter in. May it be so with us. Amen. Let us now sing hymn number 660 to the tune Beatitudo number 97. With wondering eyes, Lord, we admire the feast prepared by grace. Come, Lord, and set our souls on fire and fill each heart with peace. O may we each with heart and tongue sing, worthy is the Lamb. To him alone the praise belongs. And we'll adore his name. Hymn number 660.
And with a solemn
We'll read together a few verses from John's Gospel, chapter 6. We'll read from verse 30. John's Gospel, chapter 6, beginning to read at verse 30. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus here speaking to the Jews. The Jews who were looking for a sign, were looking for something other than Christ, who could not understand what Jesus was speaking to them. And it is no different in our day. So few come to worship. And those that do come to worship, there are many that do not come and partake of that which is before us this evening. There may be many reasons behind that. But one of them is, they do not see the need, their need, for the bread of life. There has not been given to them that true hunger and that true thirst. But when the Lord quickens his people, there's that hunger and thirst after righteousness. For we have read together in this portion, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. They come because they have a need. They come because that need is revealed to them. And they come by faith because they see in Christ Jesus the way to life. And that is what we gather around this table to remember. The way to life through his death. We take the bread. We drink the wine to remember his death. He came down from heaven, dear friends, not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. Not in opposition to his Father, but in union with his Father as touching his divinity. He came to fulfill the will of God. And what was that will? That everyone which seeth the Son by the eyes of faith and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. as we will partake of the bread and the wine shortly. We will read together those verses in 1 Corinthians 11 as we normally do. And we partake of the bread and the wine to remember what? His death till he come. And you may gather around this table this evening and say, well, look at me in the past month since I last sat here. I'm so cold, I feel to be so far from the Lord. I'm not what I want to be. I feel to be such a sinner. But dear friends, that's why we come. Because we are sinners. And that's why we come, acknowledging we are sinners. And if we didn't feel that we were sinners, we'd be coming unworthily. Because we would not be valuing this bread and this wine. We would not be appreciating our need of this perfect sacrifice. Life through his death. We do show the Lord's death till we come. If we truly feel our sinfulness, we'll long to be taken from this body of sin and death and to be with Christ, which is far better, through him. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So we come this evening. We come to partake of the bread of life. We come to drink from the cup. We come for nourishment and spiritual strength to carry on in this journey of life. And that's why we do it month on month. Because we need that reminder. We need to look again. We need to look again to the sufferings of Christ and see fulfilled in that his perfect obedience. So let us partake. And may we be given faith to do so. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Let us pray and give thanks for the bread. Almighty, holy, and just Lord God, we are favoured to gather once more around thy table. Lord, we have set before us that which commemorates such a solemn event in the history of this earth. Such a solemn, but such a blessed event. That thy righteous wrath and indignation was poured out upon thy dear Son. And as we partake now of the bread, we remember that body which was broken for us. That perfect, sinless body which was broken for our sins. We humbly fall before thy mercy and thy love and plead for thy help this evening. Come and cut through the hardness of our hearts so that we can lay hold upon those precious promises we have laid hold of upon thy word, and once more draw near unto thee through thy dear Son. For Christ's sake we ask. Amen. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.
give thanks for the cup. O Lord, we have now partaken of the bread, and we have set before us the cup. The cup, the New Testament, in thy blood. That blood which cleanseth from all sin. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. We are sinners. We need that fresh reminder of that soul cleansing stream. Give us, Lord, something to lay hold on tonight. Be touched by thy love and thy kindness. That we would ever be able to sit round this table together. Kept from what we would have been. Draw near by thy grace. And now partaking through faith the sacrifice of Christ. So as we now take the cup, strengthen us in it, we pray. For Christ's sake, we ask. Amen. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out. Let us now conclude by singing hymn number 826 to the tune Zundel, number 664. Oh, how good our gracious God is! What rich feast does he provide? Bread and wine to feed our bodies, but much more is signified. All his sheep, amazing wonder, feeds he with his flesh and blood. Where's the power can ever sunder souls united thus to God? Cease thy fears, then, weak believer. Jesus Christ is still the same. Yesterday, today, forever, Saviour is his unctuous name. Lowliness of heart and meekness to the bleeding lamb belong. Trust to him, and by thy weakness thou shalt prove that Christ is strong. Hymn number 826. Close our worship here today. May something remain with one another into this new week of time. May there be indeed our minds kept upon one word or another. Lord, for we have that need of that life. We have that need of that right way. Lord, lead us in it. Keep us in it. Guide us through it. So be with the dear people here. Go before them all. And as we part from them now, Lord, may thy rich blessing remain. Forgive all that's been wrong. That which has been of thee, keep with them. Lord, thou knowest the need of everyone. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.